ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಗಂಗತಿ ಜನ ಬಲದ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ದ್ರಜೋದನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ದ್ರಜೋದನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ಕೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ
ಪರಮಾಂಸ ಕಲಿ ರಾಜಾರ್ಯ ಶತ್ರುಸತಿ ಶಿಷ್ಯಮಾರ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿಧಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿಶ್ರ ಪ್ರಭಾರತಿ ಜನ ಜಯ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾಲ ಪರಮಾಂಸ ಕಲಿ ರಾಜಾರ್ಯ ಶತ್ರುಸತಿ ಶಿಷ್ಯಮಾರ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಶ್ರೀರಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಾಥ ಕೋತಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕುರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಇಸ್ಕುಂಬಿ ವಿಧಿ ಫಾದರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಹಿಜಿಂಗ್ರೇಶ್ವರ ಪ್ರಭಾರ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ ಸುಖ ಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚಿತನ್ನ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯ ದ್ವೈತ ಗಲಾಧರ್ ಶಿವ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶಿಶಿ ರಾಧಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂದ ರಾಧಕುಂದ ಗಿರಿಗೋವಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ವೃಂದಾವಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಮಹಪುಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗಂಗಮಾಯ ಮುನ್ಮಯ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಯಜ್ಞ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಗೋ ಓ ಗೌರಿ ಸ್ಮರಿ ಓತೀಸ್ ಓ ಗೌರಿ ಸ್ಮರಿ ಓತೀಸ್ ಓ ಗೌರಿ ಸ್ಮರಿ ಓತೀಸ್ ಓ ಗೌರಿ ಸೋ ಗೌರಿ ಶಿಶಿ ಗುರು ಅಹಂ ಗೋ ಗಂಗಾ
Hare Krishna, everyone. It's good to see all of you. I was just observing this beautiful altar, and it's definitely not even close what I've been seeing online, but just seeing it here in a real time, it's really so beautiful. I think the devotees really did an amazing job. And just the carvings and colors, it's incredibly beautiful. All right. So, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, Text Number 3. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
Ajaharashvamadam sthin Gangayam buri dakshinam Saradvatam gurum kritvam Deva yatrakshi gocharam Ajaharasvamadam stream Gangayam buri dakshinam Saragatam gurum kritvam Deva yatrakshi gocharam Ajaharasvamadam stream Gangayam buri dakshinam Saradvatam gurum kritvam Deva yatrakshi gocharam Ajaharasam madam Gangayam buri dakshinam Saragatam gurum kritvam Deva yatrakshi gocharam Ajaharasvam madam stream Gangayam buri dakshinam Saragatam gurum kritvam Deva yatrakshi gocharam Ajaharasvam medaham stream Shinam Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ajaharam performed Ashwamedham horse sacrifice Trin tree Gangayam the bank of the Ganges Buri sufficiently Dakshinam rewards Saragatam Antu Kripacharya Gurum spiritual master Kritvam having selected Devam, the demigods, Yatram, wherein, Akshi, eyes, Gocharam, within the purview. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, after having selected Kripacharya for guidance as his spiritual master, performed three horse sacrifices on the banks of the Ganges. These were executed with sufficient rewards for the attendants. And at these sacrifices, even the common men could see demigods. Purport. It appears from this verse that interplanetary travel by the denizens of high planets is easy. In many statements in Bhagavatam, we have observed that the demigods from heaven used to visit this earth to attend sacrifices performed by influential kings and emperors. Herein,
Also we find that during the time of the horse sacrifice ceremony of Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods from other planets were visible even to the common men due to the sacrificial ceremony. The demigods are not generally visible to common men, as the Lord is not visible. But as the Lord, by His causeless mercy, descends to be visible to the common men, similarly, the demigods also become visible to the common men by their own grace. Although celestial beings are not visible to the naked eyes of the inhabitants of this earth, it was due to the influence of Maharaj Parikshit that the demigods also agreed to be visible. The kings used to spend lavishly during such sacrifices, as a cloud distributes rains. As a cloud is nothing but another form of water, or in other words, the waters of the earth transform into clouds. Similarly, the charity made by the kings in such sacrifices are but another form of the taxes collected from the citizens. But as the rains fall down very lavishly and appear to be more than necessary, the charity made by such kings also seems to be more than what the citizens needs. Satisfied citizens will never organize agitation against the king, and thus there was no need in changing the monarchical state. Even for a king like Maharaj Parikshit, there was a need of a spiritual master for guidance. Without such guidance, one cannot make progress in spiritual life. The spiritual master must be bona fide, and one who wants to have self-realization must approach and take shelter of bona fide spiritual master to achieve real success.
Ajaharashvam medam stream gangayam bhuri dakshinam shadavatam gurum kritva devayat rakshingocharam.
Maharaj Parikshit, after having selected Kripacharya for guidance as his spiritual master, performed three horse sacrifices on the banks of the Ganges. These were executed with sufficient rewards for the attendants. And at these sacrifices, even the common men could see demigods. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuramuitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vancha Kalpatru Bishati Pasinveva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Grada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So as I was reading this verse, it kind of reminded me of the times back in the 90s I was traveling with a good friend of mine, and he specifically loved first canto of Bhagavatam, and we would go for the travels distributing books, prasadam, and somehow he would always carry first canto. So one time I asked him, how come you're always reading first canto? I thought you would be done by now. You know, and read other cantos. And he told me, he said, first canto is the best. And you know, he had such conviction in what he was saying. He said, like, if you understand first canto, you'll become self-realized. Everything is in first canto. He said, it's lotus feet of the Lord. It is so sweet. There's so many wonderful stories and pastimes and instructions in the first canto. It's a best of the nectar. And I was, you know, back then, you know, I was thinking, okay. But some years later, actually I found Prabhupada speaks about that in one of the conversations during morning walk. One of the devotees, I believe, what's his name? Prajapati, Prabhu, I think. Asked Prabhupada, so in what way is first canto representing lotus feet of the Lord. And Prabhupada explained, just like when we're doing deity worship, we would offer flower first to the lotus feet, and then gradually basically progress upwards towards smiling face of the Lord. But we wouldn't necessarily jump in the right ahead and observe lotus face of the Lord. And Prabhupada said it's really important to study Bhagavatam and gradually progress from first canto to second canto and so on. And Prabhupada said we should always be careful not to become like Sahajas. Basically, they jump straight to the rasa dance in the 10th canto. So anyhow, I just remember my good old friend Golokeshwara Prabhu. Unfortunately, some years later, he passed away in a car accident. But I have strong belief that he went to much better destination. So, in the previous chapter, we find basically even the chapter itself is titled "Pandavas Retired Timely." And I was thinking about that, word, timely. how essential that is. Basically, they are setting perfect example, even after, huge endeavor to basically gain the kingdom. After war on the Kurukshetra and so many people being killed, and so many tribulations and trials that they went through. Just to become, rightful owners. Actually, they were rightful owners of the kingdom. And, so finally they became kings. Yudhishthira became recognized emperor. But just see how easily he gave up. He gave up when he heard from Arjuna that Krishna has left this world. so easily. It's incredible what kind of detachment, compared to the current times that we live, we can see that leaders, especially they have powerful political positions, they're so attached, they can't even contemplate about giving up. They're so attached, even to the last breath, they want to hold the so-called position of power and prestige. But pure devotee, on the other hand, he understands we are here to serve Lord's mission, and in that light he performs any duty, even if it's ruling the kingdom. So in this chapter today, basically, so we know now Pandavas, they retired, and Parikshit, he is basically installed to rule the kingdom, and it was described all his great qualities. He was equally qualified as Yudhishthira himself. And in today's verse, basically, we are discussing performance of sacrifices. Prabhupada mentions in this purport, he's saying that even the great personality like Parikshit, he had to take the guidance of spiritual master just for the performance of the sacrifice and for any other spiritual task. Prabhupada explains here, if one wants to be successful, one has to take the guidance of the spiritual master. So that point is very nicely stressed here. In this case, Parikshit had Kripacharya as his guru, although later on we find basically he is being instructed also by Shukadev Goswami, which also makes very clear point that in our spiritual journey, there will be many gurus that will be guiding us, not just one. Of course, we always take shelter of our Shiksha Guru, Srila Prabhupada, but there will be many senior Vaishnavas who will actually, it is required we take shelter and guidance from them to progress further. So, in the verse, basically, it is described that the yagya that Parikshit performed was so auspicious and so wonderfully performed that even devatas from heaven they came to observe, and they were visible to ordinary people, where commonly, you know, ordinary people would not see them. So that was the power of sacrificial performance done with the purity and done with the proper guidance. Now, we find that in the Gita, Krishna speaks about sacrifices performed in three different gunas, in sattva guna, raj, or tamas. And basically, let's see if I can find it here. So it's 17th chapter of Gita, and Krishna is telling Arjuna basically of sacrifices, the sacrifice performed according to the directions of scriptures as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of nature of goodness. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride or cheerful debaratas, you should know to be in the mood of passion. Any sacrifice performed with regard for the directions of scriptures, without distribution of prasadam, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations for the priests, and without faith, is considered to be in the mood of ignorance. So, very interesting. And, you know, when we kind of ponder a little bit more about the sacrifice itself, we can actually understand that everybody's forced by the nature to perform some kind of sacrifice, austerity, to achieve anything in this world. However, the difference will be in the desire of the living entity. According to desire of the living entity, that activity, that sacrifice will be classified either in the goodness, passion, or ignorance. And I wanted to give a few examples here. We find in the Krishna book, there is a wonderful story. One time there was a demon called Vrikasura, and he wanted to basically achieve some power, you know, some success, you know, like it's preached in material world. You have to be successful, wealthy, prestigious, famous, and that will make you happy. Sure. So this foolish demon, he met one time Narada Muni, and he said, "I'm trying to achieve, you know, some boon. Please tell me what is the quickest way to do it. I got no time. I need it now." So Narada Muni, you know, being, you know, expert preacher and very intelligent, he understood this foolish demon. You know, if I tell him to worship Lord Vishnu, he's just so much in the passion and ignorance, he's not going to do it. So Shri Narada, he told him, "You should worship Lord Shiva. He's very easily pleased." So this demon, he started performing sacrifice, and basically what he was doing, it's like horrible. He was cutting pieces of his own flesh and basically feeding it into the sacrificial fire. And, you know, one day passed, second day, third day, I don't even know how he was still alive. But finally, you know, his patience was like, you know, getting, you know, so diminished, he concluded, like, "I'm just going to cut my head off and offer it to, you know, to the fire." He was so crazy. So, just about when he was, you know, ready to do that, Lord Shiva, being, you know, so merciful to the fallen conditioned souls, Lord Shiva appeared from the fire, and he touched, you know, this demon by his hand. And just by Lord Shiva's merciful touch, the demon, you know, immediately transformed, and all his wounds healed, you know, by Lord Shiva's powers. And Lord Shiva said, "My dear Rikasura, why are you doing this? There is no need to do this. You know, I'm very easily pleased. You know, even by just offering a little Ganji water, you know, you can easily satisfy me." And so then Lord Shiva said, "You know, please, you know, ask for any boon. I'll do anything for you." And this demon, he said, "I want a boon that whosoever head I touch, he will immediately die." He was so evil. And Lord Shiva said, "You know, he Tanaka, this guy is crazy." But you know, out of his compassion, he said, "Let it be." And as soon as Lord Shiva gave him blessing, basically this demon, you know, being so corrupt in his heart, he thought, "I'm going to try this boon on Lord Shiva himself." And the reason he was thinking like that, he wanted actually to take Parvati away, to enjoy Mother Parvati. He was so, so degraded. And understanding his intention, Lord Shiva became afraid for his own life. And he started running. And this crazy demon was chasing him all over the place, you know, different planetary systems. And finally, Lord Shiva, you know, he had no other shelter than to approach Lord Vishnu. He went to the Shvetadvip. And as he was basically running for his life, you know, he finally came there. And Lord Vishnu, being, you know, in the heart of all living beings, he understood, he knew exactly what's going on. So he appeared on the scene. But he appeared as a beautiful brahmachari. So Rikasura could not really recognize him. And it's described he was so beautiful, Lord Vishnu, in the form of brahmachari. He was so effulgent that, you know, it immediately captured, you know, Rikasura's attention. And both of, you know, both of them stopped, basically. Lord Shiva and Rikasura, they came to this amazing personality, this brahmachari. And Lord Vishnu inquired, "Oh, my dear Rikasura, good to see you. Lord Shiva, nice to see you." And Lord Vishnu said, "My dear Rikasura, I see you running so far. And I see you are so tired. You should take a little break. You should rest. You know, after all, one should take care of its material body. It's very important." And being a demon by nature, you know, when you tell demon, you know, you should take care of your body, the demons love that. So this Rikasura, he said, "Wow, this person, you know, is speaking for my benefit. I should listen to him." And so then Lord Vishnu said, "By the way, I see you are, you know, running for some very important business. Please, you know, if you don't mind, you know, tell me what's going on. Where are you going?" And Rikasura said, "Well, I got boon from Lord Shiva that whosoever head I touched, it would burst to pieces. But I want to try it on his head." And Lord Vishnu, he started laughing. "Ha, ha, ha." You know, Krishna is very, very tricky. He can trick even the, you know, biggest of the cheaters. So Lord Vishnu said, "I don't believe that's true. Previously, this Lord Shiva, he got in a quarrel with his father-in-law, with Daksha. And I think, you know, he became ghost. And he, since then, he's been just associating, and, you know, with the ghosts and followed by the ghosts. I don't think his boon works. You know, don't believe that, Rikasura. By the way, if you really, you know, if you really want to, you know, test it, I mean, may as well, you can just touch your own head." And this stupid demon, he's, "Oh yeah, that's a great idea." So he touched his head, and boom, That was it. So Lord Vishnu said to Lord Shiva, "My dear Lord Shiva, this foolish demon, he was killed, you know, right from the moment he offended you. Because anybody who offends great devotee like yourself is immediately killed by such offense." So from this story, we find this is the example of sacrificing the mood of ignorance, basically with no regard for any scriptural injunction and meant for the destruction. And unfortunately, we can see that it's quite prevalent in the modern age, the foolish scientists that are, you know, experimenting in their laboratories with the things they shouldn't be doing, and basically later claiming, "Oh no, we didn't do anything, no, no, we, you know, just 5 million people dead, oh, we didn't do anything wrong." It's a foolishness, it's ignorance. And it's basically philosophy of the Dr. Frog. Prabhupada gives example, you know, one of the frogs was traveling and he came back and he told his friend, "I've seen Atlantic Ocean." And this other friend said, "Really? How big it is?" And the other frog said, "It's so, so big." So, you know, the other frog, he was kind of expanding himself and trying to kind of simulate the size of Atlantic Ocean. So similarly, the modern scientists, they are pretending to be gods, basically with their limited brain power. They're doing things that are just meant for destruction of human race. So that is something that should not be done. And basically, on the other hand, you know, there are activities that are done according to the scriptural injunctions. And I wanted to give example of that as well. Basically, sacrifice done in the mood of goodness. One time, the boys of the Yadu dynasty, led by Samba, and other boys, they were playing in the yard. And as they were playing, basically, they actually felt thirsty. So they came to the well, thinking there is water, so they could drink some water. But once they approached the well, they actually realized it's a dry well. But most surprising to them, they actually found one huge lizard in the well. So they looked, you know, this creature was sitting there, you know, helplessly, couldn't get out. But it was a huge lizard. It's described like the size of a hill almost. And initially they attempted to pull him out, but they couldn't do it. They you know, put the ropes and they tried to lift him out, but just wouldn't go. So they went to Lord Krishna and they explained what they seen. And Lord Krishna came immediately to the scene. And when he arrived, it's described basically, Lord Krishna, he just extended his left hand and easily pulled the lizard out. And just by Lord's touch, basically this creature transformed into a beautiful demigod. So everybody was amazed, like, you know, who is this personality? And Lord Krishna said, "Oh, my great, you know, sir, please tell us who you are. If you think this place and time is appropriate, please, you know, if you don't mind us asking, please describe who you are and, you know, how did you end up in this condition here?" So this demigod, he explained, "I'm King Nriga from my previous life." And he offered obeisance. He said, "My dear Lord, you know everything. You know the past, present, and future. You are in the hearts of all living beings of the Supersoul. So even though you ask me, and even though you know who I am, just because you're requesting, I'll speak just to please you." So King Nriga went on to explain. He said, "I used to give so much charity all the time to the qualified brahmanas. I gave so many cows to the brahmanas." It's described basically as many cows as there are stars in the sky, as there are, you know, grains of the sand, as there are drops of the rainwater, that many cows I gave in charity, millions and millions. So King Kariga said, you may actually have heard about me when there, you know, when there were a recitation of the most charitable people in the universe. You probably heard my name when, you know, the names of such people were recited. So then he went on to explain. One time, basically, I gave one cow to one Brahmana. And the other Brahmana came and he said, wait, this is my cow. And the other Brahmana said, no, no, King Riga gave it to me. And this Brahmana said, no, no, he actually stole it from me first and then he gave it to you. So this Brahmana, you know, was arguing. And, you know, two Brahmanas, they kind of got into a little tiff of conflict. So, basically, seeing what's happening, King Nriga understood basically somehow one of the cows that was previously given in charity, somehow it wandered away and mingled with his, you know, own herd of cows. And unknowingly, he gave it again to another Brahmana. So, mistake was done. So King Nriga said, my dear Brahmanas, please be peaceful and kind to me. Please forgive me. I'll give 100,000 cows more to each of you. You know, just give me that one back and I'll give you 100,000 each of you and, you know, we can settle this dispute. But each, you know, one of the Brahmanas said, I don't need even one more cow from you. And he left. And the other Brahmana, he also, you know, basically, without speaking, he just walked away. So King Nriga realized, my goodness, I'm in a very troublesome situation here. I made the offense unknowingly. So the story goes on. At the end of his life, basically, he was taken by the representatives of Lord Yamaraj to Yamaraj's abode. And when he arrived there, Yamaraj, he addressed him. He said, oh, King Nriga, I can see that you are so, so pious and so charitable, but you have one little sin that you performed. Please choose. You can either suffer your sin or you can enjoy your pious activities. Which, by the way, I do not even see the end to your enjoyment in the heavens because you perform so much piety. And being very intelligent, King Nriga said, let me suffer first. And that's how he actually got cursed and he became a lizard. Now, in one of the purports, there is explanation. Fortunately for King Nriga, one time, basically, he happened to do seva for the Vaishnava, for devotee, who wanted to build temple for Lord. And he also requested scriptures like Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So, being so charitable, King Nriga fulfilled actually that service for that devotee. And devotee gave him blessing. He said, my dear king, may someday you have audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of that blessing, it happened that, you know, he took birth as a lizard and had a great fortune to be rescued by Lord Krishna himself. So, I wanted to mention this story because it really highlights how complex this material world is. So much, it's kind of like a big, big, complex machinery. And if, you know, if we can just, you know, for a moment kind of reflect, if King Nriga had to basically experience the reaction for even one of small, small mistakes, you know, what to speak about these sinful people of the age of Kali? You know, it's even inconceivable. So, therefore, we have a great mission of spreading this transcendental knowledge as much as possible, because we can see people are suffering, especially with everything that's happening with the pandemic and all other political conflicts that are going in the world. People are wondering, like, what is really the meaning of life? And, you know, they may not necessarily come and, you know, show up in the temple, but they're actually asking these questions. They're going online, they're searching the internet, they're looking for the answers. They're looking for the people who make a sense of everything that's going on. So we can understand that there is, you know, I mean, there is always need for the spreading of Krishna consciousness, but especially in the current times, more than ever, it is very, very important. I heard one very nice story recently from Navina Nirudha Prabhu, and he was kind of narrating one story, I mean one incident that happened many years ago, but I thought it's really interesting. Basically, there was a devotee going around parking lot, you know, and distributing books. In one of the cars, you know, in a very secluded spot, there was a man basically with the, you know, windows closed, doors locked, car running, and somehow, I don't know how, but somehow he connected the exhaust pipe from his car back to the interior of the vehicle. So he was basically looking to commit suicide. And it was probably, you know, very short time left for him to live. But all of a sudden, somehow, you know, devotee happened to wander by. And, you know, as devotees usually do, they, you know, they knock on the window, "Excuse me!" And so devotee wanted to give him book. But this man, he wouldn't open the window, he wouldn't open the door, nothing, like, you know. And, you know, devotee somehow got inspired by superstar. So he thought, like, anyhow, you know, and he left one little booklet on his window, you know, on the windshield. And, you know, he walked away. He went on with his day, not even realizing what was going on. So this man sitting in a car, and, you know, the exhaust is, you know, like pumping all the poison inside, and, you know, he's about to suffocate himself. And then he started thinking, like, what am I doing, like, you know, and why is this guy coming to me, like, and what's this book about? So then something changed in his heart, and he thought, like, anyhow, you know, my life is already wasted, you know, what's the big deal, you know, if I take another 5 minutes and I look what's in this book? You know, he just got so curious, like, how is it possible that someone would come, you know, just a minute before he killing himself and giving book? So he opens the door, you know, all the, you know, gasoline went out. He picks the book, he starts reading, you know, he talks about reincarnation, he talks about, you know, us being spirit soul, eternal living, you know, beings. So he starts thinking, like, maybe there is some bigger reason why is all this happening. And he looks, you know, there is a, you know, a list of temples in the back. He ends up actually going to temple later on and telling the devotees and what happened. So anyhow, we are running out of time. There is so much more to be said. But we should definitely have a full conviction. The process of Krishna consciousness works. There is no even slightest doubt what Srila Prabhupada gave us is the best. And it is up to us to take it with full heart, to actually fully apply what we are reading in these books. Because, yeah, it is wonderful to give people books, but eventually the same people will come back and they actually will want to see example. They will want to see these happy people, you know, people who are applying dharmic principles in their lives, because reading it in a book is one thing, but actually seeing people who are actually devoted to Lord, who are actually living dharmic life, who are pure in the nature, and their character, it's something even bigger. And people will eventually be coming to us and they will say, I want to see, like, how are you people doing? Like, how are you people living? Like, what are you doing? How are you dealing with all the difficulties that are presented to us day after day in this material world? So I'll stop here. Thank you so much. If anybody would like to comment or ask any question, please do so. Oh, yes, Sri Devi.
Thank you, Govinda Prabhu. Such a knack for telling Leela's stories. What came to mind? It was just a very nice class. I don't think I have any questions. You explain everything nicely. And people who try to commit suicide, I think it's often like a cry for help. They're not actually wanting to kill themselves, they actually want help.
So true. Absolutely, absolutely so true. And that is the big issue, that suicide rate is like skyrocketing in the current times, especially with the pandemic, where people are feeling isolated and alone, and even among the young population. Where I work and I see so many students, I'm aware that the amount of young people, you know, trying to even make a sense of everything that's going on, and they are forced to take the different kind of medications for their depression. It's incredible amount of people that are facing challenges. So you're saying very nicely, it is cry for help. Unfortunately, people don't know where to look for the help, and sometimes even they, you know, the sources that are given, they don't really solve their issue. It's kind of like, you know, like, you know, it kind of like covers it up, but doesn't really cure the root cause. Like Ayurveda, it cures the root cause of disease. But, you know, material solutions, they only cover it up, or maybe postpone it to the best, you know, estimation. So, yeah, thank you. Yes. Shiva Dhamma. Oh, I'm sorry.
Nice class and discussion. It's such a nectar. I just want to add that ISKCON of Delhi, I don't know which one, they had started a suicide prevention hotline or something like that during that pandemic. They had started that, and they said that at least 150 plus phone calls came. And they feel very fortunate to have served so many souls, and it's a very good ISKCON initiative. I just wanted to add that. Hare Krishna. Thank you
for sharing that. Yeah, definitely. Any kind of hotline that can give people answers, that can give people solace for their hearts, that could give people faith to not give up, is nowadays it's needed more than ever. It's Prabhuji.
It's not a question, it's just a further discussion. You have narrated Vrikasura's story nicely. And I was just thinking, like Narad Muni, his Mahabhagavat, he has ultimate goal is to bring each soul, maybe according to their pace of advancing, not according to Narad Muni's pace. Because in Vrikasura case, okay, you gave a good logic that because he's rushing everything, in that case, worshipping Shiva will be appropriate. But then, at the end, he got, you can say, beautiful Brahmachari Bamandev delivered him in a sense. But deliver doesn't mean he developed Krishna consciousness. His subtle body dissolved. They say the Sudarshan Chakra, Baladev Vidyasan Thakur says. But then I'm thinking of 3.2.20, Prabhupada says, when Sudarshan Chakra actually killed all these soldiers in the battlefield, they all went back and back to Godhead, but we should not misunderstand that they actually went to serve Krishna. I'm paraphrasing what I remember. So it's an intentional. Prabhupada gave the example, Shishupal also got dissolved, his subtle body, by Sudarshan Chakra. But because he does not want to glorify Krishna, he did not say anything good about Krishna. So he got only margin. He went out of the material world, but didn't really do the purpose, according to my understanding. So, okay, getting out of Maya is good, but that doesn't solve really the problem, because impersonalism deeply. In Bhikashura's case, I never heard any record what happened. In Valmiki's case, Ratnakar Dasa, Narad Muni at least had a conversation, and he tried to put a logic, who's going to be responsible behind you murdering all this halfway. Mrigari also same thing, halfway dead. So there is a conversation. But with some cases I see that there is no conversation. That's also mercy in one sense. Like Narad Muni, you can say curse or blessed this Mani Griba and Nal Kubo to become a tree.
Yep.
Okay, in that case there is hard. For 36,000 years hearing so much glory of Krishna. So that purified their heart, and then finally they met the object of their love. So in that case it was good, but Bhikashura, I don't know what happened.
I don't know, to be honest, but my assumption would be probably something similar, like Shishupal merging with the Lord, and then later on maybe coming back. The material world.
I see.
Starting over.
Because you know that verse, Prabhupada quotes so much, Jayanya Aravindaksha Vimukta Manina. And the fault in that verse, highlight in that verse is that they did not develop that love. They did not anadvita jushmat angraja. They did not other means affection, they did not develop love for his lotus feet, so they fall down. So Vrikasura didn't have any love for devotee Narada, or even though he knew Narada's position, that he has a power to. So sometimes I'm not so clearly understanding the mercy of Narada Munis in that sense. I mean, it is better than suffering in the material world, but then it's a halfway transition.
Srinarada, he knows what to do in each particular instance, and he does it perfectly. It seems like he knows, some living it is just not ready to go back to God. It's he kind of deals with them differently.
But then, we hear, I'm sorry, I'm
thinking,
Sarvanga Rishi, he was begging for liberation, and Lord Ramchandra gave it.
You want to please say something?
Go ahead. Could you, after that devotee put the book on the windshield, could you say again what happened right after he put the book on the windshield, right?
Yes,
can
yes.
Say
so,
it again?
So basically, that man, he kind of got inspired in a heart that, you know, maybe all this is happening for some higher purpose. So he actually rolled the windows down, and he got so curious to see what's in the book. You know, like curiosity just was so great in his heart that actually saved his life. So he rolled the windows down, he opened the book, he started reading, and some weeks later he showed up at the temple. So it's like we have no idea where these books are going and who will end up reading them. But it's very mysterious.
Even the newspaper, like Jayanandapur,
yes,
was on suicide. Yes. Then he read in the newspaper about Prabhupada that came to the
so, Krishna is greatest mystic of all mystics. We will stop here. Thank you all so much. Garantaraj Srimad. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.